This
direct selling education foundation, their website, they have plenty of articles there. There's Lydia in the background. She's still closing off last business period. Anyway, the Direct Selling Education Foundation has a bunch of articles on their website, and Lydia found this little, you know, grouping of them, and so she said, these look like great topics, and I agreed that some of them were, and some of them I wouldn't talk on, but I love this one as well as the one we did last week. This one's Ways to Establish Trust, because I feel that some of the times when, especially my experience around network marketing over the last 14, 15 years, has been that the people that seem not to be as effective as others, sometimes they don't have that softness or approach with people that creates the trust relationship. And part of that, I think, comes from historical network marketing experiences. I think you know, in the past 20 years ago, network marketing used to be slam, bam, thank you, ma'am type thing. It was like, you know, go out there and you tell them anything, get their money, and move on to the next. And it was like, it was all hypey. It was all, you know, and this isn't just my perception because I really wasn't involved in it, but it's things I've read in books like the Michael Oliver's book, Natural Selling, and other ones where they talk about how network marketing used to be, and that it doesn't, and a lot of the articles today that are being written, that it doesn't work anymore. And I think that, you know, all network marketing, hang on, let me just make sure I got a couple of people off of. There we go. Quiet down in the background. And anyway, so what I think is important is that we recognize the critical importance of building trust. And it's the first thing you need to look at, and this isn't even in the article, but the first thing we need to look at, and this is why I want all of you on the hero's journey, is what is it about us that we're not trusting other people? Because if you have an issue, if you've got sunglasses on or roadblocks around trust, how easy is it for others to be able to trust you if they can, because they're going to see through you in their initial stages of meeting you, that you have this hesitation or distrusting attitude. And, you know, you got to, because that comes first. I can teach and train you all these different elements of trust and how to build trust and all this stuff, but one of the most critical foundational factors is you. What is it that's stopping you from trusting people? And most of the time when we start digging in and looking at that with any of our lives, we can always find a reason not to trust people. How many on this call can find a reason not to trust people? And if I had you all off of mute, I'm sure you could all give me a story. Because we all have stories. We have stories about how people did us wrong or did some wrong to us, or they did this and that, or this person with this color skin did this, or this person with this religious background did this, or this person with this, you know, this man did this, or this woman did this, and all of a sudden, judgment builds up, and we start distrusting people that happen to fall in the category from whence that experience occurred. And so we start getting into this judgment around people in categories, and we group people. And I have found in my life that there's no such thing as stigmatizing people, because a person can come from the same household, the same neighborhood, the same socioeconomic background, the same religious background. One and the other can be totally different. We are all people that are made from our own experiences. So there is no classification that is justified. And if you're coming from a Christian perspective, there's no judgment that's justified, because the Lord tells us that He is the judge. We aren't to go out there and judge, right? So the idea here is that we want to be open, honest communication. We want to come with a heart of gold with people, and we want to just love on them for who they are, what they are, whatever they are today. That's what Christ did as He walked on earth. And that's what's going to be convincing for them to want to be a part of what we have. And I, as I've told you before on these calls, I love it when people say, I want to be on whatever you're on, Mary Jo. You know, that's my highlight. That means I'm doing what I want to do. I'm accomplishing what I want to accomplish, because somebody's seeing through. I got a lot of racket in the background, sorry. Some people are seeing through that. Lid, can you get the phone? Thank you. Sorry, people. Some people they're seeing through whatever I'm saying. They can see the heart through Mary Jo. And so my words are almost you know, they see my heart, and that's what I want people to do, is see my heart. But we got to remember, if our heart's wrong, we really don't want people to see our heart. That's when we step into not being real. Okay, and that's our first topic, our first statement. I want to just lay the foundation of why we do, a lot of us do personal development work and what it has meant for us. I never was the way I am today before I went through all that personal growth. I mean, I was a practicing lawyer. I was tough as nails. I used to eat, you know, I just used to dig people's hearts out. I mean, I was really tough because that's what we learn to be in lawyering field. We are just taught to be the strong guns that, you know, we win. And I was a negotiator. I did deals. So boy, oh boy, was I tough. I mean, I was tough. There was a reason that there are pictures of me negotiating against seven guys. You know, they'd throw me in a room with a pack of wolves, and I would, like, eat up each one of them one at a time and spit them out. And that was, I loved it. I thrived on it. Well, what did that do for me in network marketing? Absolutely nothing. I mean, it was probably a reason why I wasn't married for many years, too. I mean, it was just, there are a lot of things you give up when you want to stand in that light. And I don't find it necessary in retrospect that I ever had to be that way. It's just what I was trained and taught, and I didn't look at it. I didn't take the crystal and turn it a different way. So our reality today, because I think that you can achieve the greatest possible results in your life by being totally genuine and real and being trusting. So to be real, again, stay away from insincerity. Try to be as clear and clean and exact as you can. If you don't have proper information, you make sure to say, you know what, that's a great question. You want to be able to come to people where they trust you. So don't just give answers that you don't know are true. Just say, that's a great question. Let me find out for you. Because insincerity is really probably the number one threat to any relationship. If they find that you're not real, they will run the opposite direction. Because if they can't trust you with the smallest of things, they can't trust you with anything. So that's important. And being real is showing people how much you care about them. And one of my favorite quotes in all of network marketing that I always love, I trained it my pathway to presidential class for years, was people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's even more so today because we live in such a fast-paced society. People are just become numbers. We've become aloof. We've become, you know, we walk around this planet with our hand extensions. We don't even pay attention to people that we're walking down the street next to. We don't pay attention to the spouse in our car because we have our hand extension going. I mean, it's amazing how we've just lost that. And so this art of being able to communicate with people in an effective and sincere way is being lost because of all this data machines that we have and how we spew forth things through all these data machines instead of open, honest communication with people. So I think it's important that we always are in a position of being real, show people how much we care. You want to tap into your own desire, and this is important. Tap into your true desire to help people. Now, some of you can read that statement. You're going to go, how do I know that's my true desire? Well, that's a question to ask yourself. Tap into your true desire to help people. If your true desire isn't to help people, then probably my first suggestion is this probably isn't the business for you. But even before that, then I would ask, what is your purpose for being here on earth? I mean, start looking at the deeper meanings for why life. Why am I here? Why do I have this temporary existence on this planet? And then maybe spend some time in Scripture, and you're going to find that your number one thing is to help people, is to move on and help people. First and foremost, for a Christian, would be to lead them to Christ, and then all the other things that we do, we just support people. I can't begin to tell you how many people in my church that I support in so many different ways, and it's a blessing every single day. I rarely, if ever, get in a church group where somebody doesn't come up and say, Mary Jo, and ask me a question about something. Can I send you something? Will you look at it? Mary Jo, will you talk to my brother? I had somebody yesterday ask me how much I charge for my counseling and coaching, and I said, it's free. I do it all for free. So it's just a whole other, and you have to be careful because you can get overwhelmed, but the idea is help people. Tap into your true desire to help people. Find out what they need, solve a problem they have, and provide excellent service. That's our goal. Tap into people. So if you have to find out what they need, you have to be a great listener. If you want to solve the problem they have, you have to have answers, right? Or you have to know where you can find answers. And then provide excellent service. That means that the follow-up, the continuous touches are there. They become friends. So it can't be a superficial thing, like you walk away from somebody and they feel like they, you know, and I'll get that by standards. The important thing, when I show you my standards for me in a communication, whether I meet somebody one-on-one or I have a phone call with them, clearly I can't drop them the next day and not talk to them for 3 weeks. Because then it doesn't matter if I make them feel that way, but I don't show up in that relationship that I've just established. Then I'm just put it on ice and I become a phony, right? But here, what it looks like for me, when I get on off a phone call or complete a meeting, I want the person to feel all these things. And this just happened to me this week. I got a lead from Manatech because, you know, they have that system where when people call in, and it's my first lead that they've thrown my direction probably in 2 years. I can't remember last time I got a referral from Manatech. But they have a referral system when people call in, and I got a referral from Manatech. So I talked to this woman on Thursday, and she was a delight. And I got to know over the phone. She didn't know me from Adam. And by the time we were done, I knew more about her than the man on them. I mean, it was unbelievable what she revealed. It was incredible how close we felt. We talked about our walk with the Lord. We talked about all sorts of things. We talked about her family, how to help her. And I got her started on the products. So, but my goal in every conversation, and again, she didn't know me from Adam. I'd never heard her from her before. I want, number one, that they feel like when they hang up their phone, I want them to feel like, wow, I feel like I've known Mary Jo for 10 years. I want them to feel that way. Did you ever have that experience with somebody that you had a phone conversation with? And then if you've had it, then go back and review that conversation and say, what did that conversation feel like, taste like, look like? A lot of it will go around listening skills, right, and asking questions. That's what I did for the majority of time during this call with this lady on Thursday. I asked questions and I listened to her. And then I gave her suggestions and talked about solutions and then asked more questions. So I want her to feel like she's known me for years. Number two, they reveal more than they would imagine. In other words, I want them to feel like when they get off the phone call that they just undressed on the phone. And they're saying to themselves, why did I share all that with that lady? That's what I want them to say. Because that means that inherently in the conversation, I established a level of trust where they felt comfortable telling me some very private pieces of their life and without really revealing any information of who or what. But this lady ended up, by the time I was done with the conversation, she talked to me about her son and drug problems and the product had nothing to do with her son and some of the issues she was going through. It was beautiful. It was just a beautiful share. So, and some of you go, oh, I don't want to hear about that, Mary Jo. Well, you may not want to hear about it, but people want to share it, and they want to get it off their chest because it's heavy burden. And you can always tell somebody you're going to pray for them. You don't have to become a counselor. You don't have to be a coach, a life coach. All you got to do is when you hear it, you go, you know what, let me lift you up in prayer. That's a beautiful thing. So you don't have to step into it any in a greater way. So, all right, so they reveal more than they would imagine. Number three on there is they will call me for advice. In other words, they feel like I am somebody that can help support them in making better decisions in their life. That doesn't mean across the board, but just maybe it's just about health. Maybe it might be about where they can find help. But they view me as a source of information. And that doesn't mean I have all the answers. I just have context or I have ideas where they could find those answers. And finally, they know I will serve them and always keep their best interests first, right? So they know it's I'm not operating from my agenda. I'm operating from their agenda, and that's another way of saying that. I'm not on my own agenda. I'm here to serve them. So if you write those things down, and this didn't come out of the article by any means. That this is just something when I saw Be Real, how does Mary Jo portray that in a conversation when I'm on the phone with somebody? So this is a way to do it. Always be genuine. Nurture, and then you want to nurture that trust over time. And that's what I mean by if I set this woman up with this, what happened to my – I talked to her on Thursday. On Friday, I told her because I was really busy Thursday night. I had tons of things going on, so I said, by tomorrow I'll have an email out to you. And so I had that out, and I said, and then let's talk next week. So I have her buzz on my list to call her either today or tomorrow. I just want to see if the products arrived, if she got them, if she has any further questions, and that's the way I handle it. So it's because I need to continue that relationship. Our normal inclination would be, I got to sign up, she's getting the product, she's getting started, that's great, move on. Wrong. Customer service. Serve, serve, serve. Remember up above number four? they know I will serve them, so I better show up serving them or I will get rid of that knowledge. Especially on a first-time relationship. I love that this happened to me on Thursday. It makes it great for this call because I can tell you that what happens to all these things I just unveiled for her. I just had this incredible communication with her. What if I don't show up this week? What do you suppose will happen in that relationship? Well, I don't think she'll start second-guessing her judgment, but she will probably think she'll think, well, Mary Jo didn't care about me as much as I might have thought. I mean, I don't want that thought to even enter her brain. I want her to only think of me as being somebody caring, diligent, serving, and to supporting her. That's what I want her to think. So that's why we do it. We do it because we're building relationships and we're building trust, okay? And that's how you nurture trust over time. You're always there. That doesn't mean you call them every day, but you touch base with them, find out how they're doing on the products, they have any other questions. Maybe we can do something further. Do you have any friends who might, I can help you get these products for free. You know, here's a way you can do that. I mean, there's just a lot of things that we can do to make it different. So be genuine, nurture the trust over time, be there in their lives, become a part of their lives. Number two, be truly curious about everything. What is your prospect looking for? Be curious. Find out more and more about the person. So you ask about the grandchild or the child or whatever. What are they looking for? What do you want to do? How can you fulfill their need? How much energy are you going to put into it? All these things. You want to be curious about all the issues that are at hand. And you ask questions. And that's why I love question asking. Because you can ask questions about, well, how did you hear? First of all, with this woman, how did you hear about us? Oh, some guy at work was telling me about his friend who had a daughter with ADD, and she got on something called Phyto Bears. And he said, I don't know if it'll work for you, but you might want to research it. So that's what she did. She ended up looking at Phyto Bears, found out it was a Manatech product, and called the company, right? And it's because she didn't want to get her daughter on drugs. And I was like, oh. And then what did that open the door for me to do, right? Because she talked about that, because I was asking the questions and she said that, I was be able to say, you know what, Kathy, I really honor you. What an awesome decision, because, you know, the average parent out there, the minute they say ADD, they go to the doctor and buy a drug. They get a prescription. I mean, that's you are taking an incredible step, and I honor you in that. And he goes, well, Mary Jo, I always appreciate that. You know, there's got to be some better way. If there's a better way, I want to try that first. And I go, absolutely, because all of these ADD drugs have dramatic side effects, whether it's loss of appetite or loss of sleep. So I got to educate her a little bit about that. But I honored her for what a great decision she made, because I started with questions. Observe others always, and always work on improving. So a lot of times in your communications, you know, that's another reason why I want you all at Hero's Journey, and why I continue doing self-development work and read books every month, a couple of books every month, is because I always want to improve. I always work on green and growing versus ripe and rotting, right? And the important aspect of that is that not only for your downline to see that you're constantly trying to better yourself so that they know you're in action, that's going to help what? You lead by example. It's going to help other people in your organization to step up and do the same thing. So that's a greatness. But the other thing it does is it breeds trust. Because what happens is when people in my downline or prospects, if they see, well, I'm going to this training or I'm taking this course, or they just think, wow, this woman's really on top of it. She really cares. She really is trying to improve herself, which is going to make her even a greater asset to me. You follow me? So you want to make sure you're pouring into that. You're gonna always be curious about learning more and making sure that that communication gets out there as well. And know that this is a need fulfillment business. And that's exactly what we're about. So pursuing the needs of people and helping serve them is what we're all about in Manatech. It's one of the reasons I love it. It's one of the reasons I'll never leave it, because it's in perfect alignment with my core values. All right, number three, keep personal conversations private. And this is really critical for a lot of us, too. I mean, there's a lot of gossip that goes on in this world, and I've never been a gossip. I mean, I never was a gossiper when I was a little kid. I mean, I remember hating it. In fact, probably that's what made me become a tomboy, or I ran tomboy faster, because the boys never seemed to gossip. The girls always gossiped, right? Boys just don't, and I'm not, you can hear a judgment in this, but my experience around it is men typically are less communicative of those things. Women love it. I hated it. So it chased me away from a lot of my women relationships because I couldn't stand it. It was like, why do I want to hear about that? Why do we want to hear? Why do we want to talk about people's, you know, shortfallings? I'd rather talk about people's strengths. I'd rather focus on the greatness of who people are. You know, gossiping about it isn't anything. It's kind of like when I say, don't tell me about it. You know, they say, Mary Jo, I have a special prayer I would like you to be praying about. And I said, well, let's just say it's a silent prayer. We don't have to, God knows the problem. You don't have to tell me. They use that as a way to gossip. You know, and I go, no, I don't want you to gossip. The Lord knows what's going on. You're asking me to pray on behalf of this person. I will do that. Trust me, the Lord knows exactly what's happening. You know, anyway, so I can lift them up in prayer without knowing the specifics, right? All right, it's just a convenient way of Christians to gossip. So we just want to make sure that we keep all our personal conversations private. We want to separate our personal life from our professional life. Sometimes we get involved in our personal life, but it's more so because somebody else has opened that door for us. If somebody else starts opening the door, but throwing our personal life in other people's lives, I think is an inappropriate approach. I think if somebody else talks about their kids and asks about yours, that's a fine thing to do. But or if there's some example that you can give by it, that you can portray a point in a more effective way, then you could bring some of that in. But personal conversations you have with people, again, confidentiality, I don't have to emphasize that with all you guys. You understand that, and as a lawyer, I sure understand it. Confidentiality is crucial. You don't share with other people what's going on in other people's lives. I mean, it's taboo. And I know some of that stuff is hot, juicy, gossipy stuff, but it's just taboo. It's the worst thing you can do. Once you break that, you break trust forever. I mean, they are never going to. Trust is one of those issues that, you know, it's like deposits. I don't know if you saw that. There's some guys go out there and they do in some of their self-development work, they talk about all the good things you can do for a spouse. You know, you buy her flowers, you take her out to dinner, you take her to a movie, you take her shopping at her favorite store, you thank her, you give her, you know, treat her well, you kiss her on the cheek, you do whatever her love language, you honor that love language in a significant way. Okay, so you're building this, you're making these deposits in this bank that are just awesome. So now you're up to $10 million worth of goodness that you've contributed in her bank account. And then you cheat on her. What happens to the $10 million that accumulated over 20 years? It disappears in 1.1 seconds. And how do you rebuild the trust? Oh my gosh. You go through years of counseling, coaching, and still 5 years later, she still looks at you with a little jaundiced eye. Like, do I really believe him? Right? I mean, it's just one of those things. Trust is one of those things you don't want to ever compromise because it's so hard to get back. How many of you have tried to ever get trust back in a relationship? I have. I know all of us probably have experiences around that. And that's why it's something you never want to compromise because it's way, way, way too hard to climb back into it. It just takes a lot of energy. Not that you shouldn't do that, by all means, but, you know, it's so easy to lose, but it's so difficult to regain. So, and that's what personal related conversations do. If you breach that confidence, a lot of bad things can come of that. And always fight for that trust. Number four, become an expert. What is an expert? Well, it's funny, there's a great statement out there saying an expert is just the fact that you can be an expert if you just know a little bit more than the next guy, right? Then you're the expert on it. And a lot of people like to laugh at that. There's a definition of expert that, there's a lot of them out there, but a person who has a comprehensive and authoritative knowledge of or skill in a particular area. So you have comprehensive knowledge. Now, all of us are experts because we have a little bit more knowledge than a brand new associate coming into Manatech about these four things: comp plan, products, marketing and marketing tools, and incentives. Those are four classic areas you want to have some comprehensive knowledge over. You don't have to be perfect, but it's important for you to have knowledge over, because when a customer looks at you and say, how should I grow my business, you better have an idea of how you want to tell them to grow the business. It's why Mary Jo has what we call the business unit. I just used it yesterday with somebody. I laid out the chart. It's all color-coded, shows exactly how to grow the business, build a business unit, go over here and build your members, and then over here associates. And I always start out with the comment. My favorite comment is, you know, if you start doing this business, what do you think you're going to find out there? Are you going to find more people who just want to take the products, or are you going to find more people who want to do the business with you? And they always go, take the products, right? I haven't had anyone say that want to do the business. But most of them, and I go, great, because you know what? That's exactly consistent with how the business plan works. And then I show them the business plan. Because I'm asking you to find 20 members and only four associates, right? So five times as many customers, right? So it makes it look very doable. It makes it comfortable. When you go to somebody and say, here's how to build your business, find four associates, business builders. And people look at you and are like, they feel like a failure when the first four people only want to take the products. That's not failing. That's succeeding. So you want to make sure that you build it right so that you make people feel successful no matter what they're doing, right? You want to have an idea of how to build a business. You want to be able to answer those questions. You want to be able to answer questions about the comp plan. Now, that's where some of you are kind of screaming right now on this call. And I know our comp plan isn't simple, but Manasik's doing a lot of simplification of it, and that's going to come out at Manifest. You're going to see a lot of shifts in that are going to be consistent with this new 400 Power 400 program. But it's fun to be able to tell, just like what Rebecca said, she said, Mary Jo, do you have a chart that shows what people can make, members versus associates? And now all of you have that. That's something you want to keep in your documentation because it's helpful to answer people about comp plan questions. You can talk to them about bonuses and how they earn and things like that. But you don't have to know, you have to know the intricacies of what every level pays out in the residual income stream. No, who cares? I mean, I don't know all I probably do know all those numbers because I teach it, but you don't need to know all that. You just need to know that the compensation goes up, the residual payout goes up at each leadership level. So as you grow, your percentage income grows. And that's the beauty of the program. That's why you want to get to presidential and then platinum presidential, because you want to just, you know, go take it all the way. But now I just bypassed something. Number two is be very curious. What if they don't ever want to be presidential? What if you have somebody there and say, what is your goal for this business? Don't push presidential on somebody who wants to just make an extra $1,000 a month. Is that your goal? Would you like to just build a kind of, you know, a part-time business that gets you an extra $1,000 a month? And if they go, yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what fits for me, Mary Jo. I say, great. Now, you might turn them on so much by the business that they want to go to presidential, but let's work at where they want to be first. So you help establish them, how do I get to $1,000 of income? And you can go back to the same chart I sent out to you again and say, okay, let's look at members and associates, what the mix, where we need to be, and let's build that chart and start getting you there. And it's not too bad if on the way there you win an iPad or you win a gift or an all-expenses-paid trip or two. Is that going to be okay if on your way to getting to that money? Yeah, fun. So, okay, so be there. Be an expert. Have your comprehensive. If you don't have that information, get trained. You can get training on it in many, many ways. A lot of you are on this call because you want to keep up to date on what's happening, and I guarantee as soon as the new comp plan changes come out, I will be out here training them. So, or get to, with your upline or whatever, find resources where you can learn and you can really become familiar with how the comp plan works. And product-wise as well, do product trainings, marketing tools. We do a lot of that on this Monday call. And incentives, you definitely want to be able to, when somebody comes to you and say, I heard there's a Cabo incentive, how do I win it? You don't want to go, I don't know. What you want to do is say, oh my gosh, I remember there's this great tracker sheet. Let's get it out and work through it together and we can see exactly how to win this thing, right? So take out the rules and the tracker sheet and you got it made. You don't have to be an expert. You can do it right there. But you better be prepared. If you go, oh, I don't know how to do that, what are you telling your associate in your downline? It's unimportant. And that's not the communication you ever want to make to an associate in your downline. I want every one of my downline to be in Cabo. I want every one of them to be there. And you know what? Everyone has the capability of winning it. There's not one person in my downline who couldn't win the Cabo trip. Now, how is your languaging different than that for your organization? That doesn't mean I go and I call everybody and say, you've got to go. It's their choice. They choose in or not in. If they choose in, then we work on getting them to Cabo. If they don't want to choose in, they don't have to. But they're capable. They're all able of winning it. It's an easy trip to win. It will take some energy and effort, but the results are not just Cabo. The results are that extra $500 or $1,000 a month in income. I mean, that's probably more powerful than any Cabo trip to them. So look at the big picture. Why are you shying away from incentives if you are? and the net impact it's going to have on your organization. So become an expert in the comp plan, incentives, marketing tools, products. Help others. Number five, help others and always be respectful. And that's, again, honoring people is critical for all of us. And it's critical in every area of our life. We always want to honor everybody and every relationship because your whole world is about building relationships. Be a great listener. We talked about that over and over again. And it is one of the critical points for anything we want to accomplish in life is to be a great listener. Sit back and be a great listener. Ask questions. That's how you become a great listener, is you ask questions. Don't be the teller. In fact, when I get started with some people and I see their personality types and I know how they just love to hear themselves talk, I go, wow, do I recognize this? How do I recognize it? Because I was there for 1,000 years, right? And I have to fight going there. I still, from time to time, find myself and say, whoops, stop. But I tell them, I go, every time you go out and you meet with somebody, if you find yourself speaking more than 50% of the time, I want you to apologize and ask them if you can start over. That's what I tell them. So you say you want to be a great listener. That means asking questions. Maintain a pleasant demeanor. Practice appropriate social skills. We know those things. I don't need to review that. Golden rule, always treat others as you would want to be treated. That's an excellent rule to live your life by. This isn't the first place you've heard it, but sometimes we forget about it and we don't practice it, right? And we get snappy and snippy and short and curt and we turn our back on people. We go, boy, did I just do something I would never want somebody to do to me? That's what you ask yourself and see where you come out on that. Honor others. Stay in discovery mode versus judgment always. Again, that's the question asking. And you honor them. You don't get into judgment. You don't get into, and stay away from topics that you know are going to cause aggressiveness and like political or religion or things like that. Now, some of you say, well, Mary Jo, you talk about religion. I talk about it, but I don't talk about denominations. I talk about it because it's really hard for me not to bring up Christ in my life because that is my number one in my life. So it's hard for me to do a meeting or do a training without bringing that up. But I'm not standing in judgment, okay? That's what I'm talking about. When you get so expressive about what you are all about that you overwhelm somebody in judgment, that's where the problem will arise. And there are ways of doing it and ways of not doing it. And I think sometimes we take the wrong tack. So honor others and respect them and enjoy them. It doesn't mean you have to agree. Am I telling you have to agree with them? No. But when you disagree with them, do you have to express yourself? How are you expressing the disagreement? You can say, you know what, I really value your opinion. I could be a totally different viewpoint than they have on something, but I still can look at them and say, you know what, I really value your viewpoint on it. I value your opinion. You know what, you really have taught me something by what you've said today. You know, and I could be inside of me going, oh my gosh, this is the craziest stuff I've ever heard, right? But there's a difference between what's going on inside of you that's a polar opposite to what you might believe. And I'm not talking about Christianity at this point because I can't do that about my faith, right? I mean, I can listen to somebody talk about a different faith, but I can't tell them I could tell them what you've given me is valuable because I've learned so much from you. I could say that. But I couldn't tell them that they're right, right? I mean, I'm not going to compromise, but I can listen and I can tell them how valuable their information is. So be understanding about that. Too many of us want to be, we know, like if we talk, are you going to go talk about gun control or something? Okay, there's a hot topic going on out right now. Now, if I express my opinion to somebody, especially here in Texas, everybody here wants to have not one gun, but 20 guns or something, right? So if I express my opinion, because I don't even want to be around a gun. That's where I am. But I don't, people want to carry a gun or pack a gun or do whatever they want. As long as I don't see it or I don't have to be around, that's an individual choice. Semi-automatics, that's a whole nother world. But I don't want to get into those conversations with people because if they say, well, what's your opinion, Mary Jo? I go, well, I just am not really positive. I don't have a positive opinion about carrying guns. I look at the world, and I don't want to get into it, but you got to be careful with your opinions on issues that are hot topics, because it's not worth it to lose a relationship over something that you know somebody is adamant about. It's not worth it. So be careful with how you're addressing it. Just be careful how your strong opinion, sharp attitudes, make sure you're honoring their opinion. And then the last thing in the outline I brought up was just because you know, they're not going to try, if you have such a widely diverse opinion that they do, that breaks down the trust isn't about you being like people. It's about how you honor each other. Does that make sense? There's a difference. No two of us are identical. So it's about how do I honor our differences to make sure we build a level of trust. That's the foundational element of any relationship. Okay, and then I gave you a reference here of Stephen Covey. If some of you want to do a little bit more reading, and there's a lot of good books out there. This just happens to be a book I read a few years back. In fact, I think it was probably within a month after it came out. And this isn't Stephen Covey Sr., the one that passed away. This is his son. He had many sons, and one of them he named after his own name, Stephen, and he's become a prolific writer as well. And he wrote a book called The Speed of Trust, and it's a good book, but it's really a lot about business as well. So it's written more for businesses, but there's an entrepreneurial side to it. But it provides critical advice to business people and entrepreneurs on how to actively manage trust. In other words, in an environment where you have, you know, prospects or customers or you have employees, the trust element is crucial. And the whole concept of the speed of trust is the fact that how fast you're able to incorporate trust in relationships within your organization will determine how fast you grow your business. And I believe that's absolutely so true, hands down, absolute truth about growing a Manatech business. Because the more trust that you can develop with the people, your downline, your members, they are going to be on you like hotcakes. They're going to be calling you with referrals. They're going to be wanting to do more business. They're going to want to grow and be more like you. It's going to drive your business in an incredible way. He, in his book, he divides trust into four components. He talks about the integrity and intent. And those two components, of course, are about character, really defining character, and capability and results, and those two are more about competency. And when he talks about integrity, he says basically, without integrity, you have no foundation on which to place trust. And that means we got to look at where are we with integrity? You know, it's important. And some people, you know, I get out there and I run into people, especially coaching in my foundation and in other areas of my life where, I mean, you can't even fathom the lies people tell. I don't even know where they come from. But it's a pathology, some people just, because that's how they were raised, that's how they grew up, so what makes it hard is that when you have that kind of pathology, you have no chance of trust, do you? I mean, the only people that will trust you are other liars, but they're lying to you and you're lying to them, so you can live in this total distrusting relationship. And a lot of people get married based on that, sad but true. But it's very unhealthy, and it probably won't last very long because they're going to irritate each other at some level. But the important thing is that integrity is something, I always would to make the statement, integrity is something you should never, ever compromise, right? Ever, ever compromise your integrity. So that's how important it is. It's your badge. It's what you wear. And he talks about integrity being defined as honest, telling the truth, and leaving the correct impression with people. And beyond just honesty, he suggests that integrity, and maybe this is something you all can look at, beyond just in honesty, because integrity goes beyond the word honesty. Otherwise, you could just use the word honesty. But beyond honesty, integrity requires three things. Number one is congruence. In other words, consistent behavior, having to do with your values. If you have consistent behavior with your values, that will help inspire trust. You'll generate more trust. So consistent behavior that with respect to the values you have will inspire trust. So congruence, one. Number two, humility. Now, most people, when they look at integrity, they don't think about it being humility, but it is humility. And he defines it in his book. He makes a statement in the book he talks about. He says, what is right has to be more important than being right. Wow. How many of us are willing to lay down being right for the sake of a relationship, for what is right? Oh, it's great. This is a great. And this, we get involved in this hugely in, like, the hero's journey. We'll talk about this because the need to be right is a program that runs so many people's lives. It definitely was controlling my life for many, many years. I'll give you a cute example of it just to get it. My husband, because I travel so much, I would come home from trips and he'd say something during the week or something. He'd go, honey, let's go to a movie this weekend. And I go, which one do you want to go to? I said, we'd talk about it or something. And he goes, oh, we've already seen that one. And I said, I've never seen that. And he'd go, yes, you have, because he has a need to be right, running his life in a huge way. And he'd go, yes, we have. We went to see that. And I go, and I would know that we had never seen it. And I would get so angry at him. And I would say, don't you tell me what I've done and what I haven't done. And I would get angry. I mean, I would be on fire. I'd be so mad. First that somebody's telling me something I had done. And then just that it's wrong and he won't listen to me, right? And it would just, what happened in the relationship? What can you see happening in that relationship? Nothing healthy was happening in the relationship. It was being torn apart over a stupid issue like what? Whether I saw this movie. You see the ridiculous nature of this? So when my husband now says things like that to me, I go, oh, we did? Oh, I just can't remember it. I don't bother. Even though I know in my heart, I know that I know I didn't see it, I just say I don't remember. I just don't remember it. And you know what? Wow. No anger, heated battle, no fussing, no walking out, storming out, no, you know, night alone, no, none of that happens. But it's all about what? What is right has to be more important than being right. What is right is that my husband and I have a healthy, happy life together. That's what's right. So being right is less important than that. And then, of course, the third factor that goes into integrity is something called courage. And integrity requires courage. When taking the right action is hard to take, that takes courage. And that's what integrity is about. So add those three things to your concept of integrity. I think they're really healthy. The other one, intent, that he talks about, is intent is a plan or a purpose. And he broke that down into three components in the book. And I'll just give you these because they might help you. Number one is motive, which is the why of intent. And we talk about that huge in Manitech, right? We say, why do you want to do the Manitech business? The why. How big is the why, right? And if you don't have the why, nothing else matters. Yeah. And motive is a trust-inspiring motive is one that shows genuine care for your associates and for your customer base. You need to have a trust-inspiring motive, right? And if you don't have one, he says something in his book. He says, be prepared to pay a trust tax. You'll have to pay it. It'll be taxed on it because you're going to lose a lot by not having one. Number two, under intent, he says agenda. What do you intend to do based on your motive? In other words, not just your why, but what's your agenda? Kind of like, it also inspires greatest trust because it's beneficial. You have an agenda, your associates, you want to build it kind of like a business plan. But have a business plan and then work the plan. It builds trust from people around you. If you go by the seat of your pants, no one's going to trust you to be a good leader. So you want to have a plan. And then behavior, that's the actual action that takes place. You got to take action. It's not good enough to have a plan, you got to have action. A lot of these things, motive, agenda, behavior, they sound almost like the when we do my little draft about having the why and then the business plan. You got why are you doing it, your vision, your goals, your business plan, and then your action plan, right? Because you have to have action. Here's my business plan and here's my action steps. All of that's involved. So all those are critical. And then, of course, capability and results is just basically what are the competency. Do you have the ability to accomplish the required task? Those kind of things, capability and the results that what are the results that you accomplish? That's the big one. So anyway, so this is all about what? Trust? Yeah, trust and how important it is, and we need to build it in all of our relationships and work on it every day in every relationship. And it's about beingness, who you are, and that's one of the first steps I like to work with people on. I say, write me a letter, 3 pages long, on who you are. And then we'll go from there, right? Now, that's just my own coaching and counseling. I work with people, so I'm not telling you guys to do that, but it's a good starting place for you if you want to work on it. But it's great to build trust in relationships. It's great to understand how critical it is, and it's great to understand what it takes to be there. And working on ourselves is just a never-ending battle. We are consistently working on ourselves to be the best we can be. So let's all step into it and build better relationships, because I know what happens when you do that. You're going to have a phenomenal business in Manatech, because our whole business is about those relationships. Okay, people, any last-minute questions, any comments? Did some of you get some value out of this? Is this something you can work on? Clear? Everybody's quiet out there. I think we lost everybody. It's 2 minutes after 11, my time, no wonder. All right, everybody, have a great week. I just keep you, lift you up in prayer and hope you do some great things, meet some new people, get out there, and work on relationships. Make it a center point for this week, maybe, to say, where can I exhibit a greater level of trust in relationships I have? And see what happens. It's great. It's like a magic powder you can sprinkle on life and just make everything better. But go out there and work with it and see how it works for you. All right, love you guys, and I'll see you next. We'll talk again next Monday, and let's get to Cabo. All right, bye-bye, everybody.